Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. This morning we give you the praise and give you the glory. And everybody says, Lord, your name is highly lifted up. And we thank you for your mercies. We thank you for your kindness in our lives. Blessed be thy name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. As always, glorify yourself, Lord, in the message of the Lord. And let the light of your word shine in our hearts. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. And we say, amen. Praise the Lord. This morning, I want to talk about the everlasting kindness of the Lord. God's everlasting kindness. The sure mercies of David. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let me start here by reading in the book of Isaiah, chapter 54. Now, I love the book of Isaiah because, you know, there's so many uplifting messages there from time to time. This chapter starts out by challenging anybody that's on a downer to believe God. He says, sing, O barren, and thou that is not here, break forth into singing. Hallelujah. Even if you have not travailed before, say, break forth. See, because the Lord's going to do great things. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, say the Lord. And he talks about, you know, believing for greater things. Enlarge the plate of your tents. You know, don't be, you know, believe God for just little things. Believe God, you know, for bigger things. Enlarge the place of your tents and let them stretch them forth and so on and so forth. You know, widen the curtains of your habitations. Do all of these things, you know, and the Lord's going to bless you. You know, for thou shalt break forth. I like the sound of that. If you believe that, say amen. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles. Oh my, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. You know, and begin to talk about so many things. You know, fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither shalt thou be confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. Can you say amen to that? I mean, isn't that a wonderful promise? The Lord said, you will not be ashamed. You will not be confounded. And you will not be put to shame. You know, and you will forget the shame of the past. Whatever it is that has happened in the past, God is going to do greater things. Amen. Now, let me jump down here to verse 7. This is where I'm going with this. Verses 7, 8, and 10. For a small moment have I forsaken thee. But with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath, I hid my face from thee for a moment. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy upon thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. And verse 10 says, for the mountains shall depart, and the hills shall be removed. But my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Can you give the Lord a hand clap for that? Hallelujah. That is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, that's not a hand clap that that does the Lord justice for his mercy. Give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. I think the Lord will get a better hand clap by the time you listen to this message. I believe he will. Praise the Lord. Now, so let me take a little time and reflect on his everlasting kindness and the sure mercies of David. There are two places in the Bible where it talks about the sure mercies of David. The first is in the book of Isaiah chapter 55. And let me read it in verse 3. Isaiah 55, just the next chapter over. Incline your ear, Isaiah 55 verse 3, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Man, throughout the scriptures, he never explained it. Now, we don't see any place where it's explained what he means by this. He just dropped it. But we find that Paul, preaching in Acts chapter 13, referred to this during a very strange text. You know, was talking about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was proving to the people that from the line of David came the Savior. And that when he died, after the people put him to death, that God raised him again from the dead. And, you know, he would refer to this very verse during that text. And I thought it was strange, but let's look at it. Acts chapter 13, and let's read verse 34. Now, you can read the whole, it's a beautiful, beautiful argument that, you know, Paul was raising there. And he talked about, you know, when the people had fulfilled all that was written of him. I'm starting at verse 29, just to give a little context. You know, when they had nailed him to the cross and all of this, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee into Jerusalem and so forth, who are the witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings. Amen. Glad tidings. How that the promise, and I'm going to be preaching on this one next time. How that the promise that was made unto the fathers, God has fulfilled the same in their children. So, you know, I was actually going to preach on that today, but Lord changed it a little bit. So I'll be preaching on that next time. But, you know, and in that he raised up Jesus again. See? He raised up Jesus again. As it is written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten you. And as concerning that he raised him from the dead, now he's going to quote something to prove that he raised him from the dead. And of all the scriptures that he could quote, he went back to this one. And as concerning the fact that he raised him from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wow. Of all the scriptures that he could raise, I mean, thou will not leave my soul in corruption and so forth, and suffer thy holy one to see corruption. All of these things that he could raise, you know, to prove that the Lord raised him from there, he went to this scripture. Yes. Even though throughout the Bible he doesn't talk about the revelation that is behind the sure mercies of David, we will talk about it this morning. Amen. Now, the everlasting kindness of God, sometimes we forget. You know, and I must warn you folks, anytime I preach on this subject, I get a little emotional. Because what God does is this. God looks at that which is despised, rejected, and forsaken. Hallelujah. And those who are rejected, that's exactly what God chooses. Amen. That he may be God. That's right. Because he can do it. You know, so that no flesh may glory in his presence. You know, but sometimes we forget after God has done these great things for us. Sometimes we think that we have attained to these things by our righteousness. You know, so my message and exhortation this morning is to bring us back to the place where we will remember always the mercies of the Lord, the sure mercies of David that God has given us, and the great things that he has chosen to do for us, not because of who we are or what we've done, not by the works of righteousness or anything, but according to his mercies. Amen. Now, in the book of Romans chapter 9, moving right along. Romans chapter 9. I love this text. And you cannot preach a message like this without reading from Romans chapter 9. So let me just read a few verses from verse 6. Now, talking about, you know, how God does his, you know, election of grace. And we've preached about that in the past, you know, but, you know, the word of God, he says, not as though the word of God has taken on effect. For they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham, are they children. You know, so God is not just, you know, not, even though he loved the children of Abraham and so forth, but God has something that he's doing. You know, and he knows what he's doing. You have to listen to the message of the crossing of the hands. But he knows what he's doing. And he called some people, brought them in that were not even there. He grafted us in, you know, and we are truly thankful. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. But not exactly Isaac. There was a seed to come after that, and that was Christ. Now, he said also that the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. So it's not just natural Israel. No, those are not the children of God. But it is the children of promise. The children of the promise that are counted for the seed. And next time we'll be talking about that promise which he gave to the fathers, now fulfilling the children. But this promise, there is something wonderful that God is doing, you know. Now, he's going to explain something here. Sarah, he talked about the promise that he gave to Sarah. We've talked about that before. And no matter what, you know, whatever happened, that promise came to pass because it was part of God's eternal promise. I mean, purpose. But he moved on from that and talked about Rebecca. See? Now, so let's talk about Rebecca. You know, when Isaac's wife was pregnant, he says, not only this, but Rebecca, when he had conceived by one, even by our father, Isaac, for the children being not yet born. Now, the twins that were in the womb of Isaac's wife, Rebecca, they were not yet born when God made this statement. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, but that the purpose of God according to election might stand, it was said, that they might stand not of works, amen, but of him that calleth. Now, notice, the children were not yet born. They have not done any good or evil. But it was so that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Not of works, but of him that calleth. Hallelujah. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. Now, is God the author of unrighteousness? God forbid. But God has a way that is not known to most people. His ways are not our ways. The way he sees are not the way he sees. Hallelujah. And he chose the younger to rule over the elder. And they had not even been born. They had not done anything. So you can't say it is because of what they did. But that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand. So he did it that way. And he said, look, what shall we say then in verse 14? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he said to Moses, this is where we're going in this message, I will have mercy on whomsoever I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whomsoever I will have compassion. So then, folks, it is not of him that willeth, neither yet of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Now, we must will. We heard in the prayer this morning, you know, it is God that maketh us both to will and to perform of his good pleasure. It is a good thing to be willing. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. We must be willing. And we must run. We must do all we can. But you must remember, it is God that showeth mercy. Hallelujah. You can be willing. You can run. You can do whatever you want. But if the mercy of God fails you, then you are finished. It is the mercy of God. That's why when he told Moses to craft everything, after all said and done, he put the mercy seat at the highest point, above even the ark. Hallelujah. That's the highest point, the mercy seat. Because without the mercy of God, we are all finished. You know, so, and the everlasting kindness of God has been in our lives, but sometimes we forget. So I'm going to remind us today, in the book of Titus, chapter 3 and verse 5. That's the song we sang this morning. It is not by works of righteousness which we have done. Hallelujah. Now, we must do the works of righteousness. He said, you know, Paul writing to Timothy and all these people, and even Titus, commanding them, look, Let our own people who have received the grace of God be careful to maintain good works unto righteousness. So we know that. We must do that. But it's not of works of righteousness that we have done. But according to his mercy, he has saved us. By the washing of regeneration and by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And we don't do this enough to recognize his mercy and his goodness in our lives. Now, despite God's anger upon David, and you know the story. If you don't know the story, in 2 Samuel chapter 11, you can read it. The story of David, Uriah, and Bathsheba. I don't have time to go into that. But that story, David committed not only adultery, but murder. You know, and God was angry with him. And of course, the judgment of God was upon him. But despite God's anger upon David in that matter of Uriah and Bathsheba, his anger was but for a moment. Hallelujah. The mercies of God. Hallelujah. God said, this is the man on whose throne I will sit. And there shall not lack one man to sit upon his throne forever. Well, because Christ is going to sit on it. So there's always going to be that. It's always going to be fulfilled. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. And so, but of course, we know that David repented. We are not condoning sin. Oh, yeah. If you say, well, you know, I can do anything, and God's going to forgive me. Well, that shows what kind of seed you got. That's not the right seed. The children of God, they live by the word of God. Hallelujah. You know, sin shall not have dominion over you. But what we are saying is this. Look, David repented, Psalm 51. He repented and he prayed up and down and so forth. Of course, God judged that sin. But the Lord said, look, this is the man that I have chosen. And the sure mercies of the, and he chose. And this is the thing that is so wonderful about the Bible. The Bible reports everything. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Just puts it out there. There is nothing couched. It's all there. You know, it doesn't just report the good works that people did. It reports the bad things they did as well. Amen. So that we can learn from it. Now, this man, David, there's a story in his life that I want to bring out. And there are two places in the Gospels that I'm going to use to bring them out. The first one is Matthew chapter 12, and the second one is Mark chapter 2. And I'm going to combine the two stories. But this is the story that happened. It fell on a certain day that Jesus and his disciples were going through on a Sabbath the corn fields. And when they were going through the cornfields, the disciples were hungry, and so they decided to pluck and eat. So let's pick up this story in Matthew chapter 12. And there's a portion of it also in Mark chapter 2. But let me read this one in Matthew chapter 12 first. So, then they came, the Pharisees. You know, Jesus never cared too much about them because they were hypocrites that didn't understand anything about the grace of God. You know, so the Pharisees came and said, behold, thy disciples, they accused Jesus. Why are you letting your disciples do that which is not lawful on the Sabbath day? You know the law. And you say you are a rabbi. And look at what your disciples are doing on the Sabbath day. And Jesus turned around and said to them, have you never read that which David did? Amen? Can you imagine Jesus giving testimony of something that David did? Well, not the Uriah thing, but have you never read that which David did in the days of Abiathar the priest? How that he went into the house of God when he was hungry and there was no bread to eat? And not only did he take of the show bread that was not lawful for him to eat, but for the priest only, he ate and he gave to them who were with him. And then the people didn't know what to say with that. And they say, well, because they're talking about the Sabbath. And Jesus said, well, you think I'm breaking the Sabbath here? What about what David did? Now, David didn't do that on the Sabbath, but he did something that if you're talking about the Sabbath, this David would have been struck dead. You know, the magnitude of what he did, you know, and so forth. And Jesus said unto them, what are you going to say about that? You know, and they said, well, And then Jesus asked them, they couldn't say anything. Jesus asked them again, but have you also not read that even in the olden days, the priests that are in the temple, they themselves profane the Sabbath and nobody says anything about it. They're not guilty. And they couldn't say anything. Well, Jesus turned to them and said, look, I tell you something. In this place, there is someone greater than the Sabbath. Hallelujah. Don't worry about that stuff. There is somebody. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Amen. There's another message in that. Maybe we'll cover that someday, you know. But verse 7 is where we're going. But if you had known what meaneth this, oh my, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Ooh. I will have mercy and I will not sacrifice. Ye would not have condemned the guilty. You know, if you look at the story in Mark chapter 2, it's the same similar thing, but there's a slightly different rendition that he brings out. Let me just, verses 23 to 28, but I won't read all of it. I just want to bring something out quickly. And he says, pretty much the same thing, but what we find is that he said, look, the Lord, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Hallelujah. But the thing, the story that what we're bringing out of this story is that, you know, the sure mercies of David that God extended to David even made him to go beyond, I mean, what he should never have done. I mean, he had no right to go into the holy place to eat of those showbread. That's reserved for a certain line of people. You know, but David, by the grace of God, you know, I'll tell you something, too. That man, David, he understood something, you know, that most people didn't understand. Hallelujah. And he understood mercy. And he talked about the mercy of the Lord more than anybody in that Bible. You know, the whole Psalm 136, and his mercy endureth forever, and his mercy endureth forever, and his mercy endureth forever, and his mercy endureth forever. And he always put it out there, the mercy of the Lord endureth forever. Amen. And the Lord saved him and delivered him, you know. And God didn't even, you know, God didn't even judge him when he did that, which he should not have done. And went into the, God looks at things differently than we look at. Oh, yes. There were some people that would have said, nah, you know, Sabbath day, no, this and that and so forth. You know, but God knows what he's doing. The mercy of God is with us today. How many of you say amen? Now, let me begin to bring this home. You know, sometimes we forget the mercies of the Lord. And even the people of God, the believers, and those that, you know, have received more from the Lord and know a little bit more. Sometimes, you know, pride may get in and people forget, you know. And sometimes when something bad happens to somebody, you know, people are quick to, you know, judge them and say, well, you know, if they would have been righteous or done this and that and so forth, you know, well, maybe that would not have happened to them. So there is a story that I want to bring out to help us clear that out of our minds. Amen. In the book of Luke chapter 13, the first 5 verses, there were some people that came to Jesus and said, well, you know, those people and so forth, you know, I mean, they were killed when this thing happened and so there's some natural disaster, a tower in Siloam that fell on people and so on. And they were making like, well, you know, they were sinners and all that. That's why God destroyed them. And Jesus said to them, those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell, suppose ye that they were sinners more than others? But except you also repent, you shall all likewise also perish. Now, so Jesus is setting them straight. You know, don't, instead of thinking, he said, even the Galileans and all of these things that suffered death and suffered all these things, do you think that they were worse than others? You know, so what I'm trying to bring out is this. Some people sometimes think that they are better than others because evil happened to those others. Well, it is the mercy of the Lord that is keeping you from evil. Amen. Now, if we look at what God has done for us in this church, Well, you know, the God has been protecting us. I mean, we hear of so many things. God delivered us from ghastly accident, did this and that, and so he kept us and everything like that. Is it because we are better than others? It is the mercy of God that has been doing these things for us. And don't you ever forget it. His everlasting kindness, the covenant of peace, he said will never be removed. The mountains may be removed. You know, all of these things may go around and so forth. He said, but my covenant of peace with you shall never be removed. Hallelujah. The blessing of the Lord. And so let us never forget it, you know. And I'm going to tell us a story here to close with this story. You know, there was a man, you know, there's a full story to be told about Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a descendant of David, you know. And you know, David, I mean, God likes to talk in single generation relationship only, you know. So when David, you know, God would say that David was the father of Hezekiah, you know, but it wasn't really his father, it was great grandfather and so on. But, you know, but that the relationship level that God deals in, father and son, no, there's no grandchildren with God, per se. Amen? God doesn't have any grandchildren. Hallelujah! You are either his child or you are not. You cannot be his child through your parents. So there's no grandchildren with God. Now, so Hezekiah was a man that followed in the ways of his father David. Wasn't exactly his father, was, you know, but that's how the Bible recorded it. And he did do that was right in the eyes of the Lord. And then one time, there's this story in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 20. There's a story, you know, it's also in Isaiah 38. There's a story where Hezekiah was sick unto death, you know, and he poured out his heart and prayed, and then the Lord delivered him. But I want to just read and point out one or two things. Like I said, you can read that story in 2 Kings, chapter 20. You can read it there. And also, you can read it again in Isaiah chapter 38, how God strengthened Hezekiah and lengthened his life. But let me read just one verse to us in 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 3. 2 Kings 20 and verse 3. After he had been told by the prophet of the Lord that he was going to die and he should set his house in order, he turned around and prayed and poured out his heart to God. And this was his prayer. I beseech thee, O Lord, remember how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart. And he was right. Because he cut down all those high places and threw all those things out. And remember, Lord, I have served you faithfully in my heart. And that reminds us of some of us, we pray sometimes and say, Lord, you have told us that we will not seek you in vain. And remember, oh Lord, I have been seeking you and so forth, and I believed with all my heart. And that's good. And we should live righteous lives. Because that's what God wants us to do. Amen. And I have done that which is good in thy sight. I've cut down the high places and all of these things that he did. And he wept sore. He poured out his heart to God. And God remembered him. Hallelujah. But I want to point something out here, folks. Yes, we must be righteous. And remember the message on rewards. We preach that. God has rewards for all the things we do. But this message is higher than that. This message is to tell us that sometimes, and many times, and perhaps even most of the time, it is just the plain mercy of God. And it has nothing to do with what you did or what you are doing. It's what God chose to do in his mercy. Hallelujah. It's called his everlasting kindness. So this man, when he poured out his heart and all that, you know, and he did that, and God heard him. And in fact, the Lord, before Hezekiah left the court, the word of the Lord came back to him. He was still way somewhere in the king's court. And God said, go back and tell him, I will heal him. And add 15 years to his life. And God even gave him a sign and so on and so forth. But there is one obscure scripture where God revealed something that these other two chapters did not tell us about Hezekiah. I'm going to read it to you right now. In the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 32. Verses 25 and 26. The book of Hezekiah. It was about Hezekiah, but in this one is 2 Chronicles, chapter 32. Let me start from verse 24. In those days, Hezekiah was sick unto death, and he prayed unto the Lord, and the Lord gave him a sign. This one chapter here did not go into all the details about Isaiah coming and telling the prophecy and all that stuff. He just said he was sick, he prayed unto the Lord, God gave him a sign. But look at verse 25 is where we're going, verses 25 and 26. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit that was done unto him. Why do you suppose was that? Well, because his heart was lifted up. Maybe, perhaps he thought it was because of all those things. He walked in the ways of the Lord and he did good in the eyes of the Lord and also and so forth. Maybe he thought that's why God delivered him. See, his heart was lifted up. And he began to, walk in pride for a minute because of the great things that God had done. And God even lengthened his life. God brought him back from almost death. And his heart was lifted up. And he did not render unto the Lord the goodness for God's kindness. He did not render the praises and the appreciation, the thanksgiving for God's kindness. Therefore, there was wrath from the Lord upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Well, you won't find this particular one in the King's story or the Isaiah story, but it's there. But thank God in verse 26, he repented. Amen. Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride that was in his heart. That's right. Both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. Now, there's a valuable lesson here to watch out, lest we think that the things that God is doing for us, he's doing it for us because of our righteousness. All the things that we believe. Well, you must believe. But it is the mercy of the Lord. Amen. His everlasting kindness and the sure mercies of David. Now, many of the things that God has promised us, we'll look at what happened in the life of David and so forth. I don't have time to expatiate into that. I wish I had a little more time today. But suffice to bring this out in this message, that it is not of him that willeth, and it is not of him that runneth, but it is of God that showeth mercy. And we don't want to be in a situation where, we think we are better than others because God has spared our lives. Or God has done some miracle for you. Or perhaps you spend a lot of time believing the Lord and praying and so forth like that, which is good, and we must do that. And God has promised that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek the Lord. So all those things must be brought in balance. But this is a higher message of humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. It's a higher message to know that no matter what has happened, all that I am and everything that I ever hope to be, I owe it all to the Lord. There is nothing that I could have accomplished. Even the things that have happened in my life were good. It was because of the mercy of the Lord. And if God for one day will remove his mercy, then we are finished. Hallelujah. If you can stand on your own, upon your own righteousness, if you can stand without the mercy of God, no mercy, let the mercy of God be removed. And let everybody stand on his own righteousness alone. there will be not a single person that will be able to stand. Amen, folks? One time Jesus said, well, let the first one of you that is without sin cast the first stone. There was not a single one of them. But they were quick to judge because they felt they had righteous indignation. You know, and that's okay sometimes, but you must always remember the mercy of the Lord. Hallelujah. We want us to always remember his mercy. And I want us to stand to our feet here this morning. We have not always remembered the mercy of the Lord. Remember, mercy triumphs over judgment. Hallelujah. It is the mercy. We were already judged in Christ. But it's the mercy of God that is here with us today. And for those of you who are vessels of mercy, and there's a message on our website called that. You should listen to that. It's a very good message. It will help you to understand this one. If you are a vessel of mercy from the Lord, then we should always fall before him on our face. Amen. Amen. Any person or persons that will boast about what they have, the Bible says, what is it that you have that you have not received? Wherefore do you boast? You've received it anyhow. And when we actually, you know, sometimes even when we are very spiritual, when we've seen the things of God, you know, and so on, you know, we tend to, you know, raise our elbows and so on. But when you have really been in the presence of God, you will fall down on your face. Amen. Amen. That's what the real presence of God and the understanding of his mercy does to somebody. You will fall down on your face. You will know that you didn't do nothing to anything to deserve his goodness. When Isaiah saw the mercies of God and the glories of God in Isaiah chapter 6, he fell down on his face. Now, for those of us who have not given God enough glory for all of his mercies, I'm going to give us a chance today. But not only today, every day of our lives, we must acknowledge his everlasting kindness. You must acknowledge the mercy of God. Why are we better than those who are perishing? Why? Why are you in this room today filled with the Spirit of God and other people are perishing? Why do you have wonderful children and beautiful, spouse and whatever? And why do you have good things of life and others do not? Is it because you are so smart? Is it because, some of us, the story of, many of our lives, God has brought us from rags to riches. Hallelujah. If that's your story, give the Lord a hand clap here this morning. Hallelujah. Not only physical rags to material riches, but spiritual raggedness. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I stand here today. Well, I'm not the, whatever you might call it or anything. But I will not frustrate the grace of God. Because God, by the grace of God, chose me. I did not choose him. Amen. And some people think they chose the Lord. They're good. Well, let me tell you something, folks. I got good news. Jesus said, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." Hallelujah. The Lord is the one that chose us. Hallelujah. And for those of you whom the Lord has chosen, I want you to come and let's bow down before him this morning. I want you to come. Psalm 65 and verse 4 says, "Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto him." Hallelujah. Now, if there's anybody here today that will join me, come and join me. Because we don't do this enough. We don't bow down enough before the Lord. And we don't appreciate. We don't give him the glory that is due to his name for all the things that he has done. And sometimes we think we have done these things by ourselves. Sometimes we think we have achieved these things by our own self. And sometimes we look down on others and we think we are better than them because evil befell them and did not befall us. Let us come before his presence today. Let us bow down before him. And let us thank him for his mercies. Thank him for his mercy in your life. For the everlasting kindness that he promised even while we were yet in sin. When we didn't even know him. When we were rebellious, he chose us. And he has set us apart for his own glory. Our Father in heaven, we glorify your name. We bow down before you, our Father in heaven. We glorify your name. We bow down before you, our Father in heaven. We glorify your name. We bow down before you, our Father in heaven. We glorify your name. We bow down before you, our Father in heaven. We glorify your name. We bow down before you. Our Father in heaven, we glorify your name. We bow down before you this morning because we recognize that it is not by works of righteousness. It is not because of what we did or didn't do, but that the purpose of God according to election might stand. And by the grace of God, you saved us. We thank you and give you all the praise. And give you all the glory. And I want you to sing with me and say, it's not by works of righteousness, but by his grace alone. It's not by works of righteousness, but by his grace alone. It's not by works of righteousness, but by his grace alone, we are complete. For the parents that are here, your kids are doing well. They are not in jail. They are not on drugs. Of righteousness, but by his grace alone. It's not by works of righteousness, but by his grace alone. It's not by works of righteousness, but by his grace alone, we are complete. We are complete in him. Complete, complete, complete. Him. Oh yes, we are. completed. We are completing him. Complete. Oh yes, we are complete. And those of you who are here, children, even you have wonderful parents. You have Christian parents. You are not out on the street. I mean, these are things that we ought to be thankful for. We have a roof over our head. We have good things. God has given us richly all things to enjoy. But beyond all these things, he has given us eternal life. And he has given us the Spirit of God to understand the deep things of the Spirit. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. And on behalf of myself and everyone that is here today, and on behalf of our families and on behalf of this church, we return all the glory to you, Lord. We give you all the glory and all the praise for what you have done, for what you continue to do, and for what you will yet do. And for all the times that we have not rendered, like Hezekiah, we have not rendered according to the mercies that we received. For all the times that we thought it was because of our righteousness that made us to get the good things of God, we confess this as sin before you, Lord, today. And we ask, O Lord, for your forgiveness. Give us a true understanding heart of the mercies of the Lord. For I will have mercy, saith the Lord, on whom I will have mercy. And I have chosen to have mercy upon you. Ye are the vessels of mercy. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We give you the praise, Lord. Thank you for your compassion. Thank you for your love. Blessed be thy name, O God. And Lord, you said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And I say unto you, brethren, for ye that have obtained mercy, ye ought also to be merciful. Hallelujah. Inasmuch as you have obtained the mercy of the Lord, be ye also merciful to others. The servant that obtained mercy did not show mercy to his fellow servant, but cast him in prison, held him by the neck until he had to pay all. And his master was wroth with him and delivered him to the tormentors. That is not our portion in Jesus' name. Inasmuch as God has freely forgiven us all things, we ought also to forgive one another. Inasmuch as we have received the mercy of the Lord, we ought also to extend mercy to others. We thank you, Lord. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. The Lord grant us his mercy, and the Lord grant us his grace to show mercy and kindness to others. Hallelujah. Thank God for his everlasting kindness, and thank God for the sure mercies of David. Hallelujah. If you understand that message, let's give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.